Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow ministers of this speaking forum. We are glad to be alive. We're glad to be on the air tonight, this global broadcast of the Church of Christ entitled Bible. Basic instruction before leaving Earth. We want to thank everyone, especially our radio audience, who's on this call with us tonight. If you're listening or if you're reading on the internet, at the internet station, we want you to know that tonight is your opportunity to get on the phone and ask your Bible question. We are having a question and answer period tonight, and we're looking for those who are honest souls, who are genuinely wanting to know what they need to do to make their soul salvation possible through Jesus Christ. We all about Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. It's all about what God wants, and it's about God's glory. We want to thank the Darien Luke Church of Christ in Houston, Texas, USA, whose minister is Lewis Parker IV. They are the congregation of the Lord's Church in the United States, and they are paying for this broadcast ministry every week, week in and week out. And we just want to thank God for the congregation, for its brethren and its leadership, who sees fit to sponsoring this global ministry. Tonight, we also expect to have Brother Lewis Parker, the fourth, the minister of the Darien Luke Church of Christ, to speak on our panel tonight. We have Brother Lewis Parker Jr., who is his father, and he's a minister of the Church of Christ in Dickinson, Texas, USA. Tonight we have also with us Brother Leroy Williams, myself, who is one of the ministers of the Par Edition Church of Christ in Wharton, Texas, USA. Our moderator tonight is Brother Brian Brown, who is a member of the West Ward Church of Christ in Texas City, Texas, USA. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking for those who desire to inquire into the truth. And if you have a question or a comment tonight as you are listening to this broadcast, if you have a question about anything that we say tonight or anything that we've said in previous broadcasts, we want you to ask your question for us tonight. All you have to do is on your telephone keypad, push number one. Push the one button, and Brother Brown will cue you into the call. You can ask the ministering panel tonight your question. You can ask it live and on the air. And we don't want you to be afraid to ask any question that you have for us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be afraid to ask your question. There's no question that is too juvenile or too silly or foolish or unnecessary if it has to do with understanding what God's will is for your soul salvation. Feel free to ask your question without hesitation. We promise you that if you ask a Bible question, a question of spiritual faith and religious doctrine, a question of morality, we will give you a Bible answer for your question. We are here to give the truth, the whole truth, the naked truth, nothing but the truth. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We need to be free from our sin and the condemnation of hell. Jesus Christ came and became the sacrifice for the sins of all mankind, that he might open the door and give opportunity to all of those who want to be saved. But if you don't want to be saved tonight, ladies and gentlemen, know this. There's only two things that can happen after we die and leave this world. We'll either be faithful to God and die in faith and go to heaven, or we'll reject Christ and his sacrifice, reject God and his salvation, and die and be raised in the resurrection to go to eternal damnation in hell. No one in their right mind wants to go to hell. Everybody desires to go to heaven because we read about heaven. We read about it in our Bibles, and we desire to go to heaven. But tonight, ladies and gentlemen, unless you are willing to obey the gospel and be saved according to the word of God, heaven is not promised to you. Listen, we want to encourage everyone on this call, again, ask your question. We want to give you the Bible answer. This forum is not a political forum. We're not here to answer questions of domestic and civil government or anything like that. But basically, we're here to answer questions of morality and spiritual faith toward God. Let's take a moment, and we're going to pause and go with me as we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father God, it is again that your servants have come. We have come together to preach your word and to give an answer to every man that asketh us of the reason of our hope with reverent fear and awesome respect. Dear God, thank you for all of the brethren, the ministers, the true ministers of the Church of Christ all around the world who are faithfully preaching your truth. They are preaching the word faithfully, trying to persuade men by the gospel to be saved before it be everlasting and eternally too late. Bless us tonight, dear God, as we receive those who have inquiry. And as we speak your truth, we pray that some good, honest heart will be willing to submit themselves to the obedience of the gospel so that their soul might be saved, dear God. We know that there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. And so we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified to thy name's honor and glory. Bless this ministry. Bless those who are hearers that they might receive the knowledge and might receive faith, dear God. Romans 10:17 teaches, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the sacrifice and what it cost you, dear God, for us to have the written word today. And may we teach it, dear God, just as you have commanded us to do. We're going to teach it whether men like it or they don't, whether it's good times or bad times, that we might understand that we must trust in you, dear God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. To those of you who are listening in on this broadcast tonight, we again invite you to ask your Bible question. Ask your question of religious faith and doctrine. What you must do in order to be saved. There are some things that we know that are wrong in the religious world today because there are many religious beliefs, many religious practices that do not follow the Bible's teaching. They are not from the Bible. They are not found in the Bible. And the preachers and the false teachers who teach them are teaching lies. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So if it's not written in the New Testament Word of God, it cannot be truth that saves us from sin today. We live in the New Testament generation. We have the New Testament will of God that has been written and preserved for the generation. All we have to do is obey the Bible, the truth, the New Testament will of God. There are things that men are teaching that are not true, but we will tell you the truth, ladies and gentlemen. There is only one true church. Jesus is the builder of the New Testament church. We can only be saved in the New Testament church that Jesus built. There are many churches. There are over 600 named denominations of churches that men have started since Christ built his church in 33 AD, and none of them are the church that Christ built. They do not teach the doctrine that Christ built, that Christ taught. They don't even teach the same doctrine. In John chapter 17, verses 17 and following, Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane the night in which he was betrayed before his crucifixion that Passover weekend, that Easter weekend. And Jesus prayed that all of those who believe on him, believe his word, believe the truth, might be united in their faith, that we might be one, that we might love each other as one soul, knit together, serving God in true faith and holiness. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God is the only instruction that we have that will take us from earth to the glory of eternity in heaven. It's called the Bible, the Holy Bible. There are also different Bibles that false teachers have come up with too. But there's only one truth. That truth, if one believes it, will unite all believers in the true faith that is in Christ Jesus. Again, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible only speaks of one church. The Bible only speaks of one faith. The Bible only speaks of one baptism. The Bible only speaks of one Holy Spirit. The Bible only speaks of one spiritual body, the spiritual body of Christ. The Bible says that the spiritual body of Christ is the spiritual church of Christ, the one that he built. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Bible says that it is the church of God who purchased it with his own blood. Who purchased the church with his blood? Jesus Christ. He died on the cross, and he was pierced in his side while he was dead, and his blood was shed. The Bible says that when the Roman soldier pierced his side, forthwith came blood and water. Read your Bible, ladies and gentlemen, Matthew chapter 27. Jesus died on the cross, and he shed his blood, that men might be cleansed from their sins, that our sins might be washed away out of our soul, so that our soul might become renewed, might become pure and clean and free from the condemnation of hell through sin. And God provided grace, the grace of the forgiveness of sins, for all who would obey the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the doctrine of faith in the sacrifice of Christ. It is the doctrine that teaches us that we must begin through faith and we must continue in faith and in obedience to Christ. we must obey that same form of doctrine as we are speaking now. Christ died on the cross. We die to the love and practice of sin. Christ was buried in a tomb. We are buried with him by baptism into death. And Christ was raised from the dead the third day. Even so, we also are raised from the watery grave of baptism to walk in a new and eternal life. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. That's where you read about the burial, the baptism that's a burial. We have to be buried with Christ because we have to contact the blood of Christ. In order to contact the blood of Christ, we must be baptized into his death. That's where the blood is contacted. In the water of baptism, we contact the blood of Christ spiritually, and that blood cleanses our soul from all of its past sins, and it bestows upon us the grace of the forgiveness of sin, so that as we work out our soul salvation in reverential fear, that we have the access to salvation, the access to God through the forgiveness of sins. If we sin, we have Jesus Christ, who has paid the full purchase price for all of our sins. All we need to do is confess our fault to God, pray to God, and God will forgive us of our sins. But that's only for the Christian, ladies and gentlemen. That's only for those who have obeyed the gospel of Christ, who have become children of Christ, children of God, and Christians by identity. See, the obedient servant of Christ is a child of the Savior. His spiritual name is Christ, not Baptist, not Methodist, not Jehovah's Witness, not Presbyterian, not Pentecostal, not Catholic, not Mormon, not Lutheran, but Christ. Unless one is wearing the name of Christ religiously, he is none. He does not belong to the family of Christ. He is not a child of God. He does not have eternal life, nor does he have salvation from his sins. He is still walking in religious hypocrisy, in spiritual darkness, according to the lies of Satan and his ministers. Oh, yes, teachers are ministers of Satan. Satan has ministers. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, 12, and 13. Ministers, there are false apostles, false ministers, and they are ministers of Satan. They appear to be ministers of Christ, but they're merely wolves in sheep clothing. Satan himself has disguised himself in these religions so that he, as God, he presents himself as being the Savior, but he is not. Satan is the father and the God of eternal damnation. That's where he is going to. That's where he's coming from. And that's where he wants to take you, to hell and eternal damnation. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we plead with you to obey the Bible, the truth. Follow the written word. If it's not written in the New Testament, it's not the truth. Well, Brother Williams, where does it say Church of Christ in the Bible? Is the name of the Church of Christ written in the Bible? Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. In Romans chapter 16, verse 16, the Holy Spirit had the Apostle Paul to write this greeting to the assemblies of the Church of Christ universal. He says, greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. There are no other churches mentioned in the New Testament scripture, ladies and gentlemen. There's no other churches that Christ built. And the Bible speaks of the church universal when it says churches of Christ. It's speaking of the various individual locations where assemblies of the church of Christ are in each community of mankind, where we live and we serve the cause of Christ and the building up of the kingdom of God among the population. We are commanded to preach the gospel to every creature around the world. Jesus commanded that. Mark chapter 16:16. He says to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus commanded baptism for spiritual salvation. There are religions today, hundreds of religious practices that teach that one can be saved without baptism. But we cannot be saved with our sins. John 8:21-24, Jesus says, if you die in your sin, where I am, you cannot come. In other words, unless our sins are removed, unless God removes sin and forgives the sins of our life, there's no way we can go to heaven and be with him. But baptism, the means by which one is saved from eternal damnation and hell. 1 Peter 3:21, the Holy Spirit had Peter to write to the churches of Christ and saying this. He says, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Baptism is not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but rather it is the answer of a good conscience toward God. What is Peter saying? Well, in 64 A.D., when Peter wrote this, he said, baptism saves now. Has baptism ceased to save? Not according to the word of God. The word of God has not changed, and so the commandment of the Lord has not changed, and therefore baptism still saves today. It is not taking a shower. It's not taking a bath. It's not to remove filth of the flesh. The flesh is not being baptized, ladies and gentlemen. It is the soul of man that receives spiritual baptism. It is the soul of man that receives spiritual forgiveness of sins. It is the soul of man that God is saving, not the body, not the flesh. The flesh gets wet, but the soul gets saved. And God gives his spirit, his Holy Spirit, to dwell with our spirit, which is our soul, so that we are identified, we are sealed, we are owned by God. The Lord knoweth those that are his. Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from sin and iniquity. How can I be saved tonight, Brother Williams? What must I do in order to be saved? The first thing, you must hear the truth of the gospel. We have told you the truth of the gospel. Jesus Christ came and gave his life on the cross, and he didn't come to condemn men, because as mankind in our sin, we were already spiritually condemned to eternity in hell. But rather, Jesus came to save us from eternal condemnation and hell if we would only believe in him. You hear and have heard the gospel. You must believe in Christ. You must believe in him as God and our Savior. You must believe in him as the only begotten Son of God, the only man who lived on the face of the earth but had no earthly father, because his father was God. The man who lived a perfect human life and gave that perfect human life as a sacrifice on the cross and shed his blood so that men might have access to eternal life by the cleansing from sin by his blood. You must be willing to repent of your sin. You must change your mind and say, I am going to give my life to Christ. I want you, dear Jesus, to be the Lord of my life. I want to change from my sinful ways. I'm going to quit lying and stealing and smoking and drinking and fighting and cussing and fussing and lying. I'm going to stop worshiping in false religion. I'm going to come out of these false churches that are not even mentioned in the Bible. I will stop following these false teachers who are claiming to be reverends and pastors and apostles and prophets, and they are not. I'm going to repent of everything that I know that is contrary to your will and doctrine. You must be willing to confess your faith in Christ. You must be willing to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is God, our Savior, the Son of the living God. And after that, you must be willing to submit yourself to water baptism, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And God will give you the Holy Ghost to dwell with your soul, your inner man. You will automatically be a part of the spiritual family of God because baptism is the new birth. It's the spiritual birth that one desires and that one needs in order to be saved. You will be born again, born of the water and the Spirit, John chapter 3. Verse 5, you will become a member of the spiritual family of Christ, the household of faith, the church of the living God, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. You will automatically become a member of the church of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot join the church of Christ. There are false doctrine that goes around saying, join yourself to a Bible-believing church. Join the church of your choice. None of these teachings are in the Bible, not in the Old nor in the New Testament. This is the philosophy and the commandments of men. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9, men honor me with their lips, and they draw near to me with their mouth of praise, but their heart of faith and obedience is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. The commandments of men cannot save. You can't obey the commandments of men and obey truth. You must obey the commandments of God in order to obey truth, in order to be saved. There is no salvation in man-made churches. Where did all these churches come from that claim to be Christ? They came from men, religious men who were religiously in error. And they are still continuing to teach the false and erroneous doctrine. But too many of you have believed false doctrine. Will you believe the truth today? Will you believe the truth right now? Believe the word of God. It's written. You can read it. You don't have to be guessing it. We preach what is written. That's why we have the book, the chapter, and the verse. Peter and the 12 apostles never preached a gospel sermon in any church other than the church of Christ. All of these other churches that claim to be Christ and are lying, were established by men hundreds and thousands of years after Christ built his church. Christ's church is written in the Bible. The doctrine of Christ, the gospel of Christ, is written in the Bible. The doctrine of Baptists, the gospel of Catholics, and the doctrine of Jehovah's Witness are not written in the Bible. You want to obey the Bible. The Bible is the basic instructions before leaving earth. We got to leave this world one day, ladies and gentlemen. We got to leave these fleshly bodies. We got to go into eternity. And when you leave this this mortal life and go into immortality, where will you go? Will you go to heaven with Christ, or will you go to hell with the devil? It all depends on whether you obey the New Testament doctrine of Jesus Christ. And where are we going to find out this information? By reading the New Testament Bible, the Bible that God wrote. Somebody said, well, men wrote the Bible. Not so. God wrote the Bible. God used men the way you and I use a pencil or a pen and a piece of paper to write a letter. God used men in that way, and he used holy men. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Holy men. He used holy men to write the Bible, not any man, but holy men. And they wrote. The Bible has over 40 authors, but they agree in every detail in every scripture from Genesis to Revelation. The prophecies agree with the fulfillment of the New Testament. So we know that the word of God is true, and the word of God will never change. It will never pass away. So we encourage you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, obey the gospel. Become a member of the spiritual family of God, the spiritual kingdom of Christ, the spiritual church of Christ. The church of Christ is not a man-made building. It is a spiritual building, and it is built by God. That's where you want to place your soul salvation and your trust in your soul salvation, in God and in God's word. Ladies and gentlemen, again, you got to hear the gospel. Chapter 2, verse 36 through 38. You got to believe the gospel. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 and 38. You got to repent of your sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. You got to confess Christ as Lord and Savior. Acts 2:47, Acts 8:37. You got to be baptized into Christ in order to receive the removal or remission of sin. Acts 2:38. Then God adds you to his spiritual family. The Lord adds you to the church that belongs to Christ. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking for those who desire to obey truth today. Today, while the blood runs warm in your veins, accept Jesus Christ. Accept his salvation. In Acts 2:41, the Bible says, they that gladly receive his word. Whose word? God's word as spoken by the apostles. They were baptized, and there were added unto them about 3,000 souls that same day. They were added to the Lord's church. Who added them? The preacher? The pastor? The reverend? No. God, the Lord, added them to his church. You want to be saved tonight, you need to obey the gospel. I now turn this broadcast over to Brother Lewis Parker, Jr., who will have some comments and will close us out this evening. Brother Parker, if you're on the air, you have the floor.
Amen. Amen. There is absolutely nothing but the word of God. The Bible,
amen.
Paul told us to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman,
yes,
that need not be ashamed, but one that can rightly divide or handle the word of truth. And we,
amen,
know these are the scriptures. You read your Bible. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, study to show,
yes,
thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, but one that can rightly divide or handle the word of truth. And we know. Yes, sir.
Hold
Brother
on.
Brown.
Yeah, we had a. Sorry to interrupt. We had a question, but they.
No problem.
Don't know what happened. Go ahead. If they want to ask a question, I'll let you know. They hung up.
Are they online now?
Yeah, they're back on. Come on.
Hello.
All right.
Go ahead with your question.
Yes. Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Hello. How you doing? My name is Sister Young. I'm from the Church of Christ in Cleveland, Texas. And
Amen.
How y'all doing tonight? I'm so glad to hear that good gospel being preached. I'm sorry. What I wanted to do was I wanted to ask a question about Matthew 3:11-12. About the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. You know, I heard something different about it, but I want to get the real meaning of that. The baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. That's a Matthew 3. I want Matthew 3:11-12.
All right. Let's go over there and look at that, sis. In that context, we first of all need to look at who's speaking and whom they're speaking to and what they're speaking about. This was during John's ministry. John was making a point to declare or to glorify Jesus Christ. John say, I'm baptizing you with water, but there's one who is coming after me, and he will baptize with fire and the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
That baptism of the Holy Spirit with fire was realized because John was speaking prophetically. It was realized when the prophecy was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit came down in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, and it set upon the apostles like tongues of fire. It appeared as tongues of fire. And the Holy Spirit came into their life, and they were able to preach the first gospel sermon without paper or pencil or writing or anything. They were directly inspired. They were filled with the Holy Spirit of God.
Okay.
God promised this. He promised this to signify that he established salvation for man and salvation for all men, for every race of mankind.
Okay.
Now, on the day of Pentecost, you had Jews assembled, Jews and proselytes, not Gentile or pagan believers, but Jews and Gentile. They were of the nation of Israel.
Okay.
Okay. So on the day of Pentecost, the Jews received that outpouring. This was prophesied in Joel chapter 2, verse 28. God said, it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your old men shall dream dreams and see vision. Your young men shall see vision, and they shall speak it in tongues and so forth. And so Joel prophesied that in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through 31, and it came to pass on the day of Pentecost as recorded in Acts chapter 2. Peter even referred to it because this was happening. Peter said there was some who was mocking, saying, these men are drunk.
Right.
They've been laying in the bottle already this morning. And Peter said, we are not drunk. What you are experiencing, what you're witnessing, was spoken of in the Old Testament. This was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Okay?
Okay.
And so
okay.
That was for fulfillment. John the baptizer was prophesying about what Jesus, the Savior, was coming to do. And okay. It happened on the day of Pentecost.
On the Pentecost.
All right, now.
Okay.
Also, it happened. It was the prophecy of Joel was fulfilled at the preaching at the household of Cornelius.
Right.
By
okay.
Peter.
Yes.
In Acts
yes.
chapter 10.
Right.
Remember, Peter said, "Can we forbid those who receive the Holy Ghost just as we
yeah.
have? Can
yeah.
we forbid baptism?" Now, somebody would say that the baptism of the Holy Spirit meant that you was already saved. Well, that's not true. Because
yeah, because I have heard that, because I heard that argument about, well, you say that you have to be baptized to get the Holy Spirit, okay, yeah, and that was used about Cornelius, you know what I mean? He received the Holy Spirit, and but we know why he received it. Go ahead.
Well, we are baptized by faith, and we receive the Holy Ghost through faith as a result of
right.
obeying the gospel.
But they were saying that Cornelius wasn't. Yeah, but they were saying that Cornelius wasn't, you know, baptized in water, and then he did receive the Spirit of the Holy. So was he baptized in water? I got to remember.
All right, Acts chapter 10. We're going to read it. See, the Bible has our answer. Acts
okay.
chapter 10,
yeah,
after
okay.
Peter spoke to them, verse,
yeah.
let's see, what is it? Verse number 44. It
okay.
says,
okay.
"While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word,
yeah.
and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. As many as had came with Peter, six guys accompanied Peter to Cornelius' house. Because
yes.
the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. God was signifying that both Jew and Gentile flesh was acceptable for his salvation, for his New Testament salvation. And when they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, then Peter answered, Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we
yeah.
have? Who is we? The 12 apostles.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that God promised through the prophet Joel that would come to pass to show that he accepts all men of every nation, every race for salvation.
Okay.
That's the only baptism of the Holy Spirit that you read about in the New Testament Bible. The baptism that they received on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, that 3,000 did not receive the baptism
yes.
of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
They received the baptism of Christ, of faith in Christ.
Yes.
They received the indwelling or the blessed of the Holy Spirit into their spiritual life. The baptism yes. of the Holy Spirit came with a powerful signification. Notice,
okay.
the apostles spoke in tongues on
yes.
the day of Pentecost.
Right.
The household of Cornelius spoke in tongues when Peter preached the gospel to them and the Holy Spirit came forth.
Okay.
That's the
yes.
only time we read about the Holy Ghost being poured out on flesh in a miraculous way.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
okay?
There
okay.
is no the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for everybody. It's for the specific ones that we
yes.
read about in the Bible. Jesus
yes.
promises 12 apostles. He didn't promise nobody else. There was 120 in that room, in that house, when the Holy Ghost came in, but only 12 received the outpouring
okay.
of the Holy Spirit and the power to speak in tongues. And they used that power to speak to 17 different nations of Jews who came for the Pentecost, for Easter celebration.
Okay.
Is that good enough for you? All right. Brother Parker, do you have anything you want
yes.
to share regarding that?
Yes.
To
yes.
our sister?
Yes. Yes. Amen. And, ma'am, you know, I've debated years ago
because people were believing in tongues. You know, when men would get up and say, habla, habla, hubla, habla, habla, come. I remember that. Because I could hear the man. And I asked him what the tongue meant, where could he find it? You know, when it says in tongues in the Bible, he's talking about in the different languages that people speak on planet Earth.
Amen.
Right. That's no fruit, it's just like they're saying. So we know that even now, I've preached, I've been around the world, the coalition out of Washington, D.C., and speaking, but they had an interpreter there. Because, you know, if I could speak in tongues, then they would think that I could say some kind of language that everybody could understand. No.
That's right.
No.
That's right.
We
yes,
have
sir.
To know the Bible told us to do what? Preach the what? Word. Preach the word. We want to preach the word. All Bibles are written in English. Some are written in other languages.
That's right. You got to be able to understand it. Yeah.
You
got to be able to understand it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Right.
All right.
Sister Young.
People have to understand what you're saying when you're preaching the word.
Exactly.
Because the word converts people.
That's exactly.
It makes them change. It makes them want to get baptized and saved. And that's
right.
What the whole truth. Amen.
Go ahead, brother. I was just going to say, speaking in tongues in the Bible, as you said, Brother Parker, speaking the languages of the population.
Listen,
in Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 4, it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The apostles spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost. There were dwellers in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitudes came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. These were languages that the apostles were able to speak by the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And they said, how is it? They said, they were amazed and said, look, but not all these who speak Galileans, in other words, all these men have the same native language. They said, yet, how is it that we hear each one in our own language in which we were born? These men were not born in our country. They all from Galilee. They all have the same native language. But yet we from all over the world, and we hear them speak in our language. They also noted that they were Galileans, and they were not world-educated men.
Yes.
So when we talk about speaking in tongues in the New Testament, we're talking about speaking in the languages of men. Now, they did it miraculously. Huh? They were not educated in those languages. They did it miraculously.
Amen.
Today, I speak English. If I went to Germany, I would be speaking in an unknown tongue to the German.
Oh, okay.
I would need an interpreter to interpret in German what I was saying in English because I don't speak German.
Okay. Yeah, I know you're right. Exactly.
And I bring that up because that's the circumstance or instance of an unknown tongue. The tongue is unknown to the audience, but it is not a tongue that is unknown to men. We have different languages around the world, and you don't know all of them, and no one person know all of them. So we have to have interpretation between them because there are 50 or 60 different languages spoken around the world.
Mm-hmm. All right.
They use this idea of unknown tongue to justify all that jibber-jabber and all that babbling they do, but that's not an unknown tongue according to the scripture. That's the foolishness of man and the foolishness of the devil.
Right. Okay, Brother William. I want to thank you for that, and I want to tell Brother Parker that Sister White from the Sugar Land Church of Christ told me to tell him hello.
Tell her to hello. Yeah, we love her.
Amen.
Yeah, she's listening.
All right.
All right, and thank y'all so much, Ben.
Amen. I want you to hear some tongues. I remember years ago I had a debate with a man, and he said he could speak tongues. And I remember this thing, habla habla rubla habla con. And he said that meant something. After I finished the debate, the people, they lost all of their love for him. And if they found out he was just acting crazy. And
You know what, Brother Parker? When I hear him do that, they be doing that on TV, Brother Parker. It be funny to me. I say, oh.
We had many debates back years back about it, and it just put them to shame among their own church people and everything.
And just
say that, and people is so they make it sound so mystical, speaking in tongues, and they go to the Bible and get scriptures where during the apostolic state and everything. So we've got to understand that the Word of God is definitely the Word of God. If you can speak the language where you are that he preaches, but they were preaching, that's good. I didn't know how to do it as I traveled around the world with the coalition, but we found out that we had guys that interpreted us in their language when we preached.
That's right.
But in America,
would it make sense for me to sit up and listen to you and I can't understand, what you're saying?
You know why they do that? Those wicked demons do that because they want you to think that they are speaking in tongues to you,
right,
and then glorifying you, and they pass that plate. It's all about the money.
I went to preach
the talking tongues. Now, here's a few things that everybody can understand, but it's all about, just ripping off people.
That's right, and then they want you to think that they got some miraculous power that they can do this,
Yes, and then here's another thing, too. Now, the biggest thing in the world of churches that are not in the Bible, biggest thing they got going is passing that plate. Amen? And pass the plate.
Amen.
And if you know what some of those worldly churches, I knew one of them, I forgot the name of it, but it was picking up $52 million a year.
That's right.
Wow.
Exactly. So that's what it's all, like I was trying to tell my cousin, he's talking about tithing. And I say, man, you in the New Testament, God, you don't tithe no more. If you did, you got to get 10% of everything you got.
For everything. So, and then if you are a worldly, wicked preacher, you're going to tell the people what they want to hear.
He said, preach the word.
Preach it in season, out of season. Preach when they lack it or don't lack it.
And I heard like a brother told us, you know, we are Church of Christ in Cleveland and we got a small, congregation, and he did a gospel meeting there, and it was okay, it wasn't enough, but he say, look, just cause this building is not full, y'all still had a successful gospel meeting. He say, because you in the right church, are you in the church? And he say, and what the truth is being preached, you're not gonna have but a few, no way.
Right. And then what did Jesus say? Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name?
That's right. Well, the truth is being taught, you ain't going to have a whole lot trying to break the dough down.
You better believe it. And some will leave and don't come back.
That's right.
I preached the gospel
I thank God for the brothers that really preach the gospel like scripturally, in spirit and in truth,
Here's what's happening. I don't know what your age is, and you're not saying neither. But I remember years ago, as I was growing up in the church, a lot of the preachers were beaten, had guns pulled out on them. Matter of fact, I got a gun pulled out of me, showed it to me. I was preaching in the pulpit, and the guy said, "You get a chance to say something else like that, I'm going to put this on you and show the gun. Well, the brother talked to him, and after church, I talked with him, too. I said, just don't do that no more. I said, if you ever do it again, and I'm here, I'm going to call the police on you.
Yeah,
I do going to the church. So we and all the creatures that were older than I and younger men coming up at that time, they had guns drawn on them as well. Because people do not understand the Church of Christ today. It should be multiply more respected among the Christians that are in the Church of Christ. Because people went through beatings and everything else. I've known when I was growing up as a child. I started preaching when I was 8 years old. And some of those older people had been whipped at churches and beat and put out of the church owned or whatever, the parsonage, throw them out of it and put the furniture out on the streets and everything else. We've got to understand what the history of the Church of Christ has gone through in America.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
It was tough. I've seen it many a time. Amen. And a guy got up and showed me his gun. I was at church and he showed me his gun. Get up there and say something like that again. I'm going to put this on you. But thank God that there was some true believers in there.
I'm telling you. Exactly. Wow.
Amen. We've come a long way. Amen.
Yes, sir.
With the word of God, and if some of us have saw it, and some of the older preachers used to preach it and talk about it, they set things in order. Paul said, "Preacher, we set it in order." Okay.
Yes.
And that's what had to happen. Yeah, that's what had to happen because most of the churches in African American communities were those. The worldly churches. It was a Sunday morning nightclub when they went there. And the preacher just get up there and just holler and scream, and the choir be singing all while he up there screaming and hollering and not really preaching no doctrine.
Exactly.
That was pathetic. A lot of young people
nowadays. Baptist churches.
Yes.
They were Baptist churches.
Yeah.
And all the rest of them were copying after Baptist church. They even worked in the Baptist church. It was a Sunday morning nightclub is where they went, you know?
Yeah.
But they don't like the nightclub, do they pass that plate 4 or 5 times too? collection plate.
Yes, sir.
Well, so, you know,
all right.
Sister Young, I want to encourage you to go back and read and study 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Where it has a lengthy discussion about the purpose, the need, or the unnecessity of miraculous speaking in tongues in certain circumstance. Remember, he says, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. Tongues were used to communicate the gospel to peoples who did not understand the language of the person who was speaking. The tongue, the ability to speak in tongues, meant I was able, though I didn't know, never studied Russian or Greek or Italian, yet I could speak the gospel in the Italian language. The apostles had that ability. Paul had that ability. That's why they could go all over the world and preach the gospel and people would understand. But every man did not have that ability. Every man did not have the ability to preach or to prophesy in a foreign language. So many of the New Testament prophets needed interpreters, people of that language to interpret what they were saying in their native tongue into that language.
Yeah.
And to translate from that language for them. Okay?
Yeah.
So today we need the same thing because we don't have, not only do we not have a miraculous gift of prophecy that is able to preach the gospel without script, without book, chapter, and verse, we're not miraculously inspired by the Holy Spirit. The apostles were, and they were also inspired to write it down.
Yeah.
We've got the inspired word. All we got to do is preach it. We don't have to speak in foreign languages to impress anybody.
Right.
Okay? All we have to do is preach the gospel.
All right. Okay, Brother Lee.
Amen. Now, here's something, just like he was saying, you know, I was growing up in the church, and sometimes I'd go and go around through communities and everything, and I heard one man get up there, and he was speaking in an unknown tongue. He said, that so-called priest, you know, and he said, habla, 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 con. You know, no, what was that? He explained to them what it meant. I mean, all kinds of foolish shit. They called down some of the men.
That's right,
Brother
Parker.
He
didn't know what it meant.
No, he didn't think
he was a miraculous. No, he didn't know what it meant. No, I'm telling you. I hate that, but it'd be funny. Like, I said, oh, my, mercy.
what they do is to get the people all excited, you know.
Because they really think that's something, a miraculous that they, you know, real special or something, you know.
Right.
And then what I like about the church, we all brothers and sisters in Christ, you know what I mean?
Right.
Just because
you're
up there preaching the gospel, that's not make you no better than me. You just a brother that done studied the gospel and can help me understand it better.
Right. Yeah. But if I can do some miraculous tongue speaking and everything, I can pass that plate more. See, going back when they were doing that, they were about passing that plate. They go to church, and they may pass plate three or four times on
Sunday. That's right. That's right. Exactly.
All about the money. That's all.
It's all about the money. And about the anniversary and about the
Christmas. Yes. Yes. I'm telling you.
I say anniversary. What kind of anniversary?
Well, first anniversary every year. One invited me to his anniversary.
Yeah.
And I was late, but I really didn't want to go because he was a worldly preacher. But he knew me well because I tried with the coalition and everything. I went there, and when I was a little late, they'd already gotten started and everything, and they had given him $3,000, you know, the people that was there. And then he told them, you know, that we even done it back in the back, and that just wasn't enough. It just wasn't. And they passed plate again back there. He walked out of it with over $5,000.
That's right. They comes up with that money now, ain't they?
Oh, yeah,
for the preacher,
Right, if you can just tell people that they're saved and don't tell them what the gospel said to
Ooh,
do to be
Lord
saved.
I'm telling you, and it hurts so much, to see that. It just hurts you, especially when a person, you know, like, you know, you have people, you know, that you know, you know, and you try to talk to them, and they won't even pick up the Bible so you can show them this, you know, what you're talking about. You know, it's already, you know, let me ask my minister about it. You know, no, get the Bible right there and read it yourself.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Thank you, sis.
Yeah. All right, then. Love y'all, and I'll be talking to y'all soon.
Yes,
all
ma'am.
All right.
Okay.
Love you. God bless.
God bless.
All right.
Thank you for speaking truth.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, Brother Park, you want to continue and close us out?
Yes, we need to. You know, the gospel is so important to this earth. Amen? This earth is not going to be here forever. Jesus is coming back. And it will be burned and done away with. But what will happen is that you're going to either go one place or the other. And that is to heaven or to hell. Amen? And we have the basic instructions before leaving earth, Bible. It tells us what we need to do in order to not only go to heaven, but to live the most glorious life on earth you could have ever lived. And that is, number one, you got to become a member of that only church that's in the Bible, in the New Testament scriptures, the only church. And we need to follow the instructions. We have to hear the word, Acts 15:7. Believe the word, Hebrews 11:6. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3. confess Christ to be the Son of God, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, and then be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of all your past sins, Acts 2, 37 and 38. We find that day that over 3,000 people were added to the church, and that's when the church was began, in A.D. 33. You know, Paul said something very important to us in Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse number 22. Professing themselves to become wise, they became fools. And every time I read the scripture here, I think of America. We have become so wise. Now we're a bunch of fools in America. If you embrace what has been given you the right to do, you can do everything else. They passed a law. A man can marry a man. Now, every state has not embraced it yet, but no state can stop you if you go to wherever you can go and get married and move back to the state that you are. There's nothing they can do. Now, we are going to end up being the new Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm. It's going to happen. Amen? Yeah. Because you notice what young people will do? Young people will follow after the older ones. Look how bad the drug was unless the laws change. Now, if they don't change that law, a man got a right to marry a man. That's what the Supreme Court said, that they have a right. And certain states to do it. But I don't think they're going to stop that. Now, if they could stop it, if we could reverse that law, it'll get better in America. Amen? But if it does not, it's going to become a germ. We'll be the new Sodom and Gomorrah here. Sin destroyed. Can destroy any nation. The whole nation. And that's where we are headed toward if we don't straighten up. Now, Christians, we got to keep doing the right thing. Amen. And you know something? This has happened even biblically. Children of God, it'll be a few left there in those nations when things will happen in the Old Testament. Amen. And they had to leave out of that country, move to another country, or whatever it was. Now, America has freedom for everything, but I don't think that's going to change if we keep doing like we're doing. Because Satan is now beginning to take over in America, especially when they embrace the fact that a man can marry a man and a woman. Now, what do you think when all of these gay people begin to multiply, what's going to happen? Amen? They're going to stay and keep doing the same thing if they can keep the people that are straight, keep their mouths shut and embrace what they're doing, because somebody got to be fruitful, multiply the earth, replenish it, and subdue it. How can two men multiply the earth? How can two women multiply the earth? They can't do it. So
they can't
do what's going to That's right. They're going to have everybody embracing them, and then they'll be getting kids and adopting them and everything else and all that. But all they're going to do when they adopt the kids and everything is turn them gay. So America would not stand much longer. You know, with all that kind of sin going on, you know, God has never tolerated that kind of foolishness. Amen?
Amen.
So this country come a fall of Jesus come back to the earth or something of that nature. You know, the Bible says, Paul says, professing in Romans chapter 1, verse 22, professing themselves to become wise, they became fools. And that's how today, right here in America, thinking that we're so smart and so wise and everything. Yes. Now we become fools. And he will say that a man got a right to marry a man and all that. Now, what other nation that was so great in history that you read about that embraced that? All of them didn't, but they're going to fall. Amen. Especially when you're not doing as God has commanded you to do. That's why the Bible is here. Amen. It is the directions of how men should live on earth and what they should do. Amen?
Yeah.
And they're going against it. Now, we know this. Why do we have courts in America? Prisons in America. Amen? You look at it. Right. People go to jail for something that they disobeyed. That was the law said that if you do it, you're going to either get the death sentence or go to prison so long or something like that. Now, if man can see man If they can see that, then why can't they see the Bible? Amen? The Bible. You read what you sow. Amen? And something else that that we can see. Look at all of the hundreds of churches on the world. All of them. And there's only one Bible on the earth. One Bible. It's here. But men have written their own books and Bibles and whatever else. But the Bible will be here. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said. But my word shall stand forever. Amen? And it's here. It's here. And we've got to keep preaching it. Amen? Because all these worldly churches are giving the people what they want to have and everything. All for the money. Amen? All for the money. And then another guy said, money's and the honeys. Amen? Amen? Preach the word. He said, preach the word. And you have a ministry. You don't have the right to be going with 15, 20 women and all up in the churches and everything else like that. Who do you think you are? The Bible, that's not even in the Bible. The Bible teaches us fornication is a sin. Amen? Adultery is a sin. We got to live right. And there are so many of those worldly preachers and some in the churches now. And hey, you cannot do that and call yourself a man of God. You're a man of hell, Satan. Amen? And spreading that foolishness. It just gets sickening sometimes as I've been around in the Coalition for Religious Freedom and driving around the world and then just visiting other churches. There are some preachers in the Church of Christ. They're whoremongers. That's a devilish shame, man. Amen. And we need to let them know that just keep preaching that word. Amen. And if those that are listening that are from other churches and everything like that, we are Church of Christ preachers, but we preach the doctrine of Christ. Amen. You don't have that kind of fornication, adultery, and all that kind of stuff going on in churches. You know, if you look at the world of churches, you ever known them, you know what be going on up in there. Amen. As I travel with the Coalition for Religious Freedom around the world, I've said this 5 or 6 times anyway. But anyway, you know, some of those preachers in the world of churches, you know, they take you up in the office. And some, I was in one office where the man's office was above, and he could look out his out of one side of his office and see everybody up in the church and everything. And then he pointed, I'd see all them girls, women sitting over there, and they're my women. I said, Lord have mercy. I didn't say Lord to him, but I said it in my mind. And I said, oh, well, where's your wife? And he pointed all the way to the other side of the church over there. And she had a big, beautiful, women's care purse with her sitting on the side on the end of the rope. And that's his wife over there. Isn't that pathetic? All that foolishness going on. Now you're telling people to come to a place where they can get their soul saved, and you got a whole church full of whoremongers and stuff up in there.
That's terrible, Brother Parker.
Yes, sir.
Nice. Yeah, yep. We got another question.
Yeah, bring it in.
All right.
Yes, the last four numbers. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Ask your question. We still on, Brother Brown?
Yes, sir. Go ahead with your question. Your last four, your phone number is 325. You go ahead with your question. Okay. Disconnected. I don't know what happened.
Okay.
Amen. Amen. I hope they'll call back. Probably had a good question there. Amen. And we're talking about now what's going on in many of churches, you know. And, you know, we've got a terrible situation going on in America right now. We've got to get more.
Brother Parker, he's back on. Let me see.
Okay.
Okay, they're back. Okay.
Yes, sir. You had a question. Uh-huh. Your last four numbers of your phone number, 7325. Go ahead.
Brother Parker?
Amen.
Hello?
Yes.
Brother Parker? Yeah,
yes.
I was just sitting here listening at you, and I wanted to thank you for encouraging us as Christians to continue on.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. And I'm glad you even brought that back and told us. We, you know, because I'm glad you feel that way, because we got to really appreciate it. America is on its way to hell. Amen. Ma'am, I said, America's on its way to hell.
Because as a moral nation, we are immoral.
Yes. And we have the stamp of approval from our supreme authority over America. They said a man has a right to marry a man, and a woman a right to marry a woman. Amen?
Yes.
And that's, you got the supreme.
Homosexuality is legalized in America.
Yes.
It is abomination to God.
Yes.
That's right. That's right.
Yes. And people, you never hardly hear about it on worldly preaching on the television and everything like that. You don't and the Bible has condemned it. You know,
it's
I preached a sermon.
New Testament.
I wrote a sermon. Yes, ma'am?
This is my first time tuning in to you. Sister Angel, this is White, Brother Parker. Sister Angel gave me a phone to Sister White from Sugarland.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Amen. Wonderful. Yes,
yeah,
wonderful.
I'm gonna be tuning in. Y'all come on every Thursday night, right?
Amen.
Every Thursday is what, Tuesday?
Tuesday and Thursday night.
Oh, y'all come on
every
Tuesday?
Every Tuesday and every Thursday.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. That'll be good. And Brother Peter Martin going to be start coming on Thursday nights too, I think they said.
All
right. Well, and everybody who wants to call in. That's the whole thing. This is an international station now.
Okay.
Okay. And you
can
call
Everybody
can call in. Yeah, let them do that, because the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. He that believeth in him about that shall be saved. And not only that, we need members to call in from all over the nation too and say things that will help us spread the word.
Encourage the work.
Amen. Because if we look at our nation now, you know, if you read the Old Testament, you find out that it's the leaders of these people that do cause them to err, and they're the lid of them are destroyed. And we have made the decision in America that a man got a right to marry a man and a woman a woman. And we sit up there and say the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance to God and the United States of America, to the Republic of what you're saying. All that now. And yet we have made laws now that condemns America. And here's the question. People talk to you, say, do you think God is pleased with that? Look what he did in the Old Testament, in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You said we're the next song on your
mind. What did you say?
I said you said we are the next Solomon and Gomer.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Morally, our nation is like Solomon and Gomorrah. We have erased the most abominable sin that God made.
Right.
God destroyed two cities for the same thing, sexual immorality and homosexuality.
Right, right. And when God created Adam, what did he do? There was nothing on planet Earth that was compatible with him. So he took his rib. See, we have to understand that a woman got a rib from a man, and that's why marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled.
Two people
become one. Amen.
Matthew chapter 19, verses 4-6. Jesus said he made a male and female, not male and male, and not female and female. That's what God created.
Amen.
See, what God has ordained, man has no right to change. But men have instituted their own marriage. That's not the marriage God created.
No.
Man instituted his own marriage, and it's a sin and an abomination in God's sight.
Amen. And you look at it now. Look at these young kids. Now I feel so sorry for them.
They can
read in the history books about how great America became, but they never want to think about what's going to happen to it. Amen. We have a great Satan, totally our authority, our supreme authority that can bring Satan. Amen.
The bottom line, Brother Parker, as Christians, we have to pray for America. We have to pray for this country.
We have to stand up for Christ.
Stand up for Christ? Yes.
Yeah, and we got to shine light because it's dark in America.
Right. And you know something? When you see this law passed, that makes this country so foolish, it ain't nothing funny about it. God, we read the Bible. We believe in the Bible. One nation under God. No longer put our supreme authority. They have put us one nation under hell now and under Satan. God created the man first. Well, if a man could be with a man, why didn't he create another man? And then maybe create a woman later on. Created that other man for me. Amen. And he told the man and the woman when he created them, said, be fruitful, multiply the earth, replenish it, and subdue it. Now, what you say, I can see you and be fruitful. Amen. One guy told me, after hearing on the radio about a while back when I brought this up, he said, they can be fruitful. They can put all that manure on their feet. I said, Lord,
that's not what God's
will
is about.
No, he said, most probably replenish it and do it, you know, adding us to procreate, you know. But we have embraced nothing but total foolishness here in America now, especially when it's with the Supreme.
Yes, Americans have become fools.
Amen.
Yeah. Thinking Paul said, professing themselves to be wise in Romans, read the book, first chapter of book of Romans. But verse 22, you start there, it says, professing themselves to become wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beast, and to creeping things. So they're changing everything now. And we have embraced what he wrote in Romans chapter 1, we have embraced. We've embraced it. And so what we've got to do, and people don't even realize it now, you know, but the sad thing is, thinking themselves become wise, they became fools. We're a great nation. We're a wise nation and all this kind of stuff and everything. And I'm sure our enemy companies are laughing at us right now. They see the decline of this nation. We
used to continue to pray.
Ma'am?
You have to continue to pray.
Yeah, we.
Amen.
And then
we'll pray.
Yeah, we better pray. Amen. Yeah, all Christians pray, and then we need to promote prayer back in America. You know,
I remember when I was going
in the first grade, when I started school, elementary school, and we did it throughout the time I graduated out of high school and everything. We say the pledge and the prayer every morning.
That's right.
Pledge and the prayer. And I think they've gotten rid of all that in the schools now.
Ma'am? That's right, they have.
They have.
They don't have friends anymore.
That's right.
Brother, we have to teach our generations, we who are the servants of God, must persevere and teach our generations so that we don't become addicted and fall into the foolishness. God is going to judge immorality. He's going to punish it, but we don't need to be punished with it. Because we should not follow it. We should teach it to our generations. It's going to be tough, but through Christ we can endure.
Okay.
Right. You know something? I've seen, it may be more quietly or whatever, but when it was very popular about gays and stuff like that, you know, you could see a whole bunch of people just walking the streets and boys switching like gears and wearing dresses and everything. You saw, but now you don't see very much of that. I know in our county, down in Galveston County, I know that UTMB, which is one of the largest in the state hospitals, they were taking in more people that had that that disease from that kind of stuff there. Well, I've forgotten what they call it now.
But,
AIDS, yeah. Boy, it was wide everywhere. And it calmed a whole lot of it down. Amen. You don't hear too much about that gay thing. You see them on television, but now I think they keep it down low. But at the same time, it's not what it was headed for. You know, I used to preach back then and write articles on, you know, America, the new Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. We said it that way.
Not,
and then yes, sir.
Yeah, God has judging that abomination and immorality. And God has a way of getting man's attention. He sent that death angel. See, that's God's angel. He worked for God. He sent that death angel out. He gets somebody's attention. See, people look at things and say, well, God ain't doing nothing. That's not true. God is still doing his will. And we as Christians need to recognize and keep our faith whole and intact. Don't give up thinking God ain't. Don't listen to the devil. The devil would have the saints to believe that God is going along with you, allowing all this. No, God is working his will. You just wait on the Lord and you'll see.
That's right.
Amen. You know, and I know when it started coming out real strong like that, I began to write articles and everything for the papers in the area, even in Houston and here in Galveston County and all, and write them. And then I saw some of the worldly churches would put their signs up on what they're going to preach on that week and stuff like that. And you could see it kind of calming down. You know, that has to happen. And then I wrote one article for a paper, America, the New Sodom and Gomorrah. And
all right.
There. And it kind of helped us out. But, you know, they're still out there. But they're not promoting it like they used to. Amen? And then I find out that, ma'am? Ma'am, were you saying something?
No, I wasn't. But I'm going to go ahead on and I'm going to hang up. And I want to say thank y'all and good night. And y'all have a blessed week.
Okay, well, have some people to call in with you now. Okay, have someone to call in. We thank you and we pray. God bless you.
Okay. God bless you.
Amen.
Okay,
God
good night.
Well, good night.
Good night.
Yeah, that's something that we...
You
yes,
ready about ready to close it out? We had 9 o'clock.
It's 9 o'clock.
Ready to close it out? We have any more questions?
Yeah, you can close it out, but we got 24 hours.
Amen, my brother. We got time.
We got time.
But we want to respect our broadcast hours. We know that they're gonna let us broadcast much longer. So by grace of God, we appreciate all of those who have participated with us in this question and answer Gospel Bible Forum. And we just pray that others will call in at the appointed times and be a part of this ministry. Brother Parker, we have some brave souls to ask some questions and to make some commentary. And I'm sure that in our discussing these things, there are others who were blessed. They may not have had taking time to make their point or to ask their question, but they heard, and we know they're blessed because we spoke truth. So we just want to be grateful to God, and let's continue to keep faith and to keep our steadfastness in following Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen of the broadcast, our guests, our ministers, and our radio audience, let's take a moment as we bow in prayer and thanksgiving to God.
Amen.
God, our Father, thank you once again. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you, dear God, for saving us. Thank you for all of those who have obeyed the truth and are living faithful lives to Jesus Christ. We're praying, dear God, for those who are not being faithful to repent and be faithful. We're praying for those, dear God, who have not received the pardoning of sin because they have not obeyed the true gospel.
Amen.
They are not a part of the true family of God. We're praying that they will seek in their opportunity, in their community,
yes,
assembly of the church that belongs to Christ, the Church of Christ, that they will go into the fellowship and be receive salvation by being baptized according to faith in the gospel. Right now we pray that they will seek out, study your word, and seek out those who are living and teaching the truth and become a part of it and be saved.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, this is our prayer. This is our desire. Keep us strong in the word. Special
Amen.
Prayer for our brother minister, brother James Johnson, who he's always faithful to this program, faithful as a minister and a speaker on this panel. But he's in the hospital tonight, dear God. We pray that you will bless the doctors with the mind of knowledge and wisdom that you have given them, that they may be able to help his physical condition. But whether they succeed or not, dear God, we are trusting in you to go beyond what the doctors can do. Heal him according to thy will, that he might be able to be with us in the future and continue as we are together, preaching the word of God, teaching men, pointing souls to Christ.
Amen.
That's our desire. That's our endeavor. That's what we desire to do to glorify you, dear God. Continue to be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Brother Parker, as always, it's been a pleasure, my brother. It's been a real pleasure. And God bless you. God bless you, Brother Brown. God bless all of our radio audience, all of our participants.
Yeah.
God bless us all. And let's be back together on this next broadcast Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Amen.
Have a wonderful evening. Bye-bye.
Yes, Lord. Bye-bye.